My name is Olga Rhodes Harris. I am 71 years old, and I am today is November 1st, and I am in Mobile, Alabama. I am here with my dear, dear friend, Winifred.
Okay. My name is Winifred Lucy. Most of my friends and family call me Winnie. And that came about because my father had trouble pronouncing my name, so it became Winnie. I am 70 years old. Today is November the 1st, and I'm in Mobile, Alabama. And...
okay. So, Winnie and I have been friends for a while, and so we're going to have an opportunity. I just want to... I guess have a little chat with Winnie today to find out if there's anything about her that after all these years, I don't know. So I'm going to start by asking Winnie, who was most influential in your life, Winnie?
I would say my mother, who I miss dearly. I grew up in a family with two boys, my brothers and me, only girls. So they got to do a lot of stuff and I was kind of quiet and shy, so my mother put me in piano to kind of bring me out. And then in school, I participated in a whole lot of things. And over the years, I've people don't believe me when I tell them that I was shy and withdrawn growing up. But I was, so she influenced me a lot in all of my decisions in life and some of the advice I took and some I didn't and should have. Each semester in college, because I wasn't ready to go out, she talked me into staying every semester. I had to get that talk because I was asking her to please come and get me because I'm ready to come home. But she knew best, and I made it. So there you have it. So can you tell me about the important people in your life, Olga?
Well, I have several. Of course, my mother. And my grandmother, and my aunts. They were all very, very strong women. I spent summers until 11th grade with my grandmother, who was very caring, very nurturing, and just made sure that she taught us a lot of things, my cousins and I. My mother, because my mother... just helped me so in my, as I was growing up. When I went to college, I thought that you went to college to find a husband. And so I did that. And after some time, I got married, and that my husband, at a very early age, had a nervous breakdown. And I had small kids, and my mother was there to give me a helping hand to lean. She was someone I could lean on, and I don't think I would have made it without her. I really don't. So, yes, my mother, my grandmother, and my aunt. My aunts were always, my mother's sisters had the same type of attitude she did, that you can do anything and you shouldn't let anything keep you from moving forward. And so that was a good thing for me. So is there a moment in your life that you are most proud of, Winnie?
Yeah, there are several. When I had my daughter and my only child, that was a proud moment for me. And I was glad I made it through. I was scared to death. And when I became Mardi Gras Queen, that was a proud moment in my life because it was something that I never dreamed that I would be able to do because of growing up so shy. But all of that is a part of helping me to come out and bring, you know, to be the person that I am now. And also when I made the decision to go back to school at 62 to work on my master's, that's a really proud moment because I thought, have you lost your mind going back to school? And especially when I was told I had to code a website. I really thought I wouldn't make it. But anyway, I made it, and that was a really proud moment. And it's very much so because at the time I started earlier, and then my mother died, and I quit. I went into a depression. I wouldn't go back to school for a long time, and then I decided to go back because every time I tried to get it out of my mind, I could hear her telling me, don't quit, don't quit. And she was telling me that. So I finally did so that I, not to hear her voice anymore, but so that I could just go ahead and be comfortable and feel that she was comfortable knowing that I did it.
That's impressive. That's impressive. And I hope you know that I am very proud of you, too, because that took a lot to do that.
Thank
and I
you.
Know that took a lot for you to be able to do that.
It did. I had to change my partying ways.
Yes, and we missed you.
So I have that same question for you on my list. What are you proudest of?
Oh, I think I'm proudest of being a parent. I think, as I said, I went off to school because I thought you go to college to find a husband. And so I did. So I had all of my kids very young. I had my first child at 18, and about a year and a half later, I had another. And then about a year and a half later, I had another. And then the husband had the breakdown. So then there I was in my early 20s with three kids. And they all turned out well. And so they all gone to college. They all have gotten married. They all have children. They all have careers. And I'm proud of that because usually as a single mom, it's very, very difficult. Even though after about 4 or 5 years in there, I did get married again. But the 4 or 5 years that I had with them and it was just me and family trying to help me, they turned out really well, I think. So I'm proud of that.
And your grandkids?
Oh, yes, the grandkids. I'm proud of the grandkids. I have 12 grandkids. I have 9 boys and the 3 girls. And then I have, this is unbelievable, but I have a great-grand. Funny thing about the great-grand, the grandson who got married about 2 years ago called to tell me that they were expecting. And my grandkids called me Mimi. And he said, Mimi, I'm just calling to tell you we're expecting. And I said, I am so excited for you. I'm so excited for you. And when I got off the phone, I told my husband, fix me a martini. I'm going to bed. I can't believe I'm a grandmother, a great grandmother. You were talking about school, Winnie. So just want to go back, circle back to that. Have you always enjoyed school?
Not as much as I did when I did graduate school, because I was, I'd been working and I was really serious about it, and I found I really liked it. But in college, I regret that I did not apply myself as much as I should have. But like I said, I led a sheltered life, and I told them I wasn't ready to go, and they sent me on anyway, and I went buck wild.
So in other words, what kind of student were you?
Not the best, but I made it. I graduated. Now, in graduate school, I was really impressed with me, because I got all those A's that I should have been doing in graduate school. When it was easier, because mm-hmm. it was, you remember a little bit more when you're younger. So,
well, you probably were like my husband, who used to say, when he went to college after we had gotten married, he went to college, and he said, I just want to see my way out of this, Olga. That's all I'm trying to do is see my way out.
I had a goal, though, my goal. I'd worked in the library all those years, and I said, I am not going to sit here in the same position if I don't go back to school. And it was getting to the point where I was just bored at work. So I liked the challenge, and I enjoyed it, and I'm enjoying my profession now. So okay. Worked out fine. So let's see what I want to ask you. Well, so how did you meet your spouse or your hubby?
Oh, hubby.
And my friend.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting story. Because if once you've been married and you've taken care of kids by yourself and all of that, you think you are totally independent and you need absolutely no one. So I was not looking to find anyone to get married again. I'd had that experience. So I was finding somebody that was going to pay for dinner. a friend of mine told me that this gentleman or this guy said he wanted to meet me. And she said he remembers you from college when he was out there for a couple of years. And he said he wants to meet you. And she said, I think you may know him. And she told me his name. His name was Benjamin Harris. And I said, no, I don't know him. I said, when I was in college, I went to school. I went home. I didn't hang out on campus or do anything like that. She says, well, he knows you because he goes to Mardi Gras every year. And he stands across the street from where you stand. Because I was standing at a relative's house mm-hmm. when the parade passed there. And she said, he stands there every year and he sees you like that. And I went, really? And she said, yeah. So she said, I'm going to take you by to meet him. And we went by his apartment and he didn't answer the door. I think he was there because I heard music, but he didn't answer the door. So it was right before Mardi Gras. And sure enough, she showed me a picture of him. She said, this is his picture. You don't know him. And I said, I do not know him. So I go to Mardi Gras and I look across the street and there this guy is. So me being who I am, I walk across the street and I said, hey, I heard you wanted to meet me. I said, my name is Olga and you are Benjamin Harris, right? And he said, yes. And it really threw him for a loop. He just stood there like, I can't believe this woman walked across the street and carried on like this. So we ended up talking through the entire parade. And when I was getting ready to walk off, he said, I'm in the phone book. Call me sometime. And I said, and I'm in the phone book. You can call me sometime. And that's the way we ended it. And I thought, I will never see this guy again in life, you know. And, you know, he was okay, but hey, I'll never see him again in life. And about 2 weeks after that, he called me and we started going out.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I did think he was cute. Now I didn't, but he was a bit. I am, as Winnie knows, I am very talkative, and I don't, as my husband says, I don't meet anybody that's a stranger. And he's basically kind of just the opposite. And so I thought this will go nowhere because he's just really, really too shy for me, too laid back for me. But it has been what. 41 fabulous years.
And we all love him. Yes, we really do. And he told her, he said, I know your friends, they only accept me because of you.
Right. He thought my friends were all snobs. And he said, they only speak to me and like me because of you. If you disappear, they'll disappear. They don't, you know, but all my friends really, I think they think more of him than they do of me.
So what advice would you give young couples now that you've been married 41 years, those just starting out?
Well, I would tell them, and it may be, maybe I should talk to them before they actually get married. But the same thing that I have told my kids in the past, and that's if you're dating someone and there's something about that person that just rubs you the wrong way, you need to sit down and think about it and think whether this is something that you will be able to deal with for the rest of your life. Because people really don't change. They are who they are. They will try to change for you, you know, like, you know, oh, God, I don't like this. And they will try their best to change for you, but they are who they are. And you have to accept them for that. And if you can't accept whatever that is that just rubs you the wrong way, then I suggest that you not be, you know, you not really be a couple to the point that you're talking about getting married. Because I even find myself sometimes getting so upset with Benjamin about something. And then I'll calm down and I'm saying, you know, you've seen this before. You know, why are you upset now? You know, you just go out and leave it alone.
So you say he would try to change, but then revert back to the old.
And, you know, yeah. And I think the same with anyone, yeah. Male or female. I think you you will revert back to what you know. You know, I have seen because of my age and growing up when people were hippies and you wore your hair a certain way, you did this, you were anti-establishment and, you know, just yada, yada, all of that. And now when you see them, who are you? Oh, I'm a CEO of this big old company. Like, I remember when you didn't even wear a bra. You know, so people go back to what they're accustomed to how they grow up. That's who they are, you know. So that's what you look for in that. So talking about friends and things like that, and Benjamin saying you guys are only his friend because of me. But what is your first memory of me?
Well, my first memory of you was I used to hear him talk about you all the time. Well, Camille, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you knew Vera then, but Camille, because you guys went to school together.
Right.
And so your name would often come up when we would be over there, but I didn't know who you were, and then I met you, and as it turned out, when I started working, that was my first job out of college, and she was my supervisor. And I hadn't worked before, and I grew up, and I was just pretty, I wasn't a wild child, but, you know, so it was just kind of hard for me to deal with that. But we became friends, so I said, this is not going to work with her being my supervisor, so I'm going to have to leave and do something else. We won't be friends. But as it worked out, my first memory was I just loved being around, you know, you guys. And at the time you were dating Benjamin, you know, when I met you, you all were already dating. So that was very interesting, you know, with seeing you guys. And I was married. I forgot I was married. That was one of my marriages. I've had two. My first one was my daughter's father. And I thought we were okay, but, you know, you never know a person until you really marry him. I'll just leave it like that. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, but I wanted to hang around with you guys because I liked the way you guys partied and stuff and did all that. So, you know, I like party people.
Well, that's interesting because I'd heard your name a lot and had not met you. And I guess because we had mutual friends, it's mm-hmm. like, you know, they knew Winnie and they knew me. And so they talked about each other, you know, people. And so to get to meet Winnie, and then Winnie comes in and my the first introduction is that she'll be working for you. And I'm like, really? What? You know, I barely can spell supervisor. What am I supposed to do? This person is my age and I think we're going to be hanging out together, and then I'm supposed to be the supervisor. So that was quite interesting, but it was fun times. It was really fun times. We were young and just starting out, knowing absolutely nothing about careers and work. You know, just been told we had to have jobs. You know,
right?
You have to have a job, and so
I didn't want to work. Not really.
And we had jobs, and
I was fine. My dad had been taking care of me, so I was okay.
Right.
Speaking of the parties, though, we still do that. We started a Mardi Gras club.
That
we started in 1986, and we are still active. We have the biggest ball every year, and we're the MGMs, the Mardi Gras Maskers.
Yes.
The OGs.
And that has been really a really fun group.
It truly
the
is.
The Mardi Gras group has been a fun group. So what makes us such good friends? What do you think makes us such good friends?
Well, I like the fact that you're very rational and you listen, you know, and I say, well, I'm thinking this, you know, and maybe I want to change your opinion about this, but you stand firm about it. You stand firm with your, you know, commitments and your decisions about things. Well, no, I think you can do it this way. So I kind of like that. I know that I can talk with you. And then you got that she doesn't tell. If you want to tell someone something, you don't want anybody to know, you tell Olga. She will keep it. You know your secret will be safe with her. So I love that because I have many secrets.
Well, I think you're such a good friend because you're always there for me for whatever I'm going through or whatever I need, or if I need to just talk to somebody, you'll at least listen and say, well, mm-hmm, okay, uh-huh, whatever, you know. But so I do appreciate that, and I do appreciate you always being there. I don't know what I would do without you. I really don't.
I feel the same way, Augan, especially with holidays. I'm by myself now. My mom's, they all gone. My daughter lives in another city, so I know I always have somewhere to go for the holidays for dinner.
You right.
know, it's just a lot of them. They're always cooking.
Yeah, I started this thing when a couple of my kids moved back, where we would do a Sunday dinner. And so Winnie would always come over, and my kids say Winnie is their big sister. but we also, you know, we're just really close. We also started another little a group within a group, yeah. And we call ourselves the Rinky Dinks too. Because most of the people in the group, their parents had a group, a little social group that they call themselves the Rinky Dinks. So we are the Rinky Dinks too. We're RD2. And so we, you know, for until COVID, every spring we went to what I called adult spring break. And we would go to Florida, and we'd rent a big house, and it'd be couples and the friends, and we would stay for about 4 days and hang out on the beach and just do what we would have done if we were in college. But we have signs, and our signs on the car and the poster on the back window says adult spring break. Our kids think it's crazy, but we thought it was fun.
And then we had our t-shirts that were all, you know, glittered up, you know, the spring breakers.
Right.
So it's really, really nice. But we always call Olga our camp director. So she got it all together for us. All of our games or whatever we're going to, our entertainment while we were there.
Yeah. You mentioned something about, you know, about being the librarian and how you felt about that. So if you were not a librarian, and I know you love the library, Winnie's always giving me authors to read, what I should read. What, and then sometimes she comes out with all these big words and I'm like, what? What does that mean? So I enjoy that. But if you were not a librarian, what do you think you would?
Well, I realize now that I'm passionate about music, and I probably would have ideally stayed in music, kept playing the piano, and just studied the arts. Because when I went up to school, I found out like journalism and all of that, and all the words and stuff. So I probably should have, I'd probably be doing something in the arts. And definitely music. I've been in a choir all my life, you know that.
Right.
I'm still in a choir, but I'm in a community choir of women called Bella Voce. Beautiful voices. And we do have beautiful voices. So music and the arts, that's what I would be in.
Okay.
I didn't realize that how much I've always gone to the library, but until I started working there part-time, 12 hours a week, I didn't realize how much I loved it. So that's why I decided to make it my career.
Okay.
But it was a little later in life when I did, but still there 27 years later.
Back to the library for just a second, and I'll go back to the music. I wanted to tell you that you were the reason that we start the Vocabularians.
was because of
Winnie. I started this thing because Winnie would use these words sometimes that I had never even heard of, even though I'm an avid reader as well. It's like, where did she get that? And so I started this, what was it, about 5 or 6 years ago? We
mm-hmm.
stopped it. We did it for a whole year. I started with my kids, and then I told Winnie what I was doing, and I would pick a word that was, and I would text it to my kids and say, this is the word of the week, and you have to use this word all week, and then you have to put it in a sentence and send it back to me. And that was fun. And then I told Winnie about it. Winnie wanted to get involved, and then she got her daughter and her family involved. And at the end of the month, you would have to use all the words in like a big paragraph.
Yeah.
You'd have to use all these new words that we had during the month. So that was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
That
I enjoyed
fun.
It a lot. Get ready to start a Scrabble club at the library, though.
Would be good.
Yeah, you know, there's one of the Betsy, her sister's been wanting to do that, so right. I told her I would do
you
that.
You have to start Bananagram as well. Bananagram is a Scrabble game, but you're playing against yourself.
Oh.
Instead of playing against other people, you're putting
words
together for yourself. But back to the music with Bella Voce. How did you get involved with Bella Voce?
Well, initially, I was singing with the Cathedral Choir. And then when I stopped singing with them, I was still looking for something else to do. But it got kind of hard to do with those rehearsals. They were grueling. And they still are, but we don't sing every Sunday. So I was looking, and then I ran into one of my friends that sings with the Cathedral Choir. And she was telling me about Bella Voce. She said, I think you would like it. So I said, okay. So I looked into it, and at the time, I had an audition for a Cathedral Choir. We didn't have to audition, so I just called Joyce and told her, you know, I wanted to join them when it started. But then we got a new director, had to audition. I was like, oh, Lord, so I had to audition for that choir. So that's how I got involved with Bella Voce, and it's been 15 years I've been with them. I only stopped when I went back to graduate school because I couldn't make the rehearsals. But we only do the two concerts a year, and that's Christmas and in the spring. And other than that, I just love it. So, you know, at times it's like, well, I'm sick of doing this. But then after a grueling day at work, and then you go to choir rehearsal and you start singing, and then we sing in different languages and stuff too, all of that, you just forget all of that. And it just really, really, you know, it's very relaxing. So
okay,
that's my relaxation.
Okay. Well, it's a lot of us in our little group, our little group within a group, that we're all retired and you're not. So what are you thinking about retirement?
All the time. I think I'm ready. They say you know when you're ready, and it's getting like every morning I'm not as tolerant. And you would think now that I have a staff and I don't have to, you know, be out front and all that, but it's still like, you know, today I wanted to write all morning, but then I couldn't do that, and then I was going to come here because it's always something. But I'm ready to hang out, you know, more with you guys, you know, stay up late, sleep late, and I want to be able to visit my family more. They moved to Texas, and I don't get a chance to see them as much as I would like to, and to do the trips, and so.
Okay.
So I'm looking into it. I'm ready.
Okay.
I could do it tomorrow if everything's okay financially.
Well, people, I'll tell you the best part of retirement for me is when you wake up and it's raining outside, it's storming.
God, yes.
And you don't have to go anywhere. You can just turn over.
See, right now I'm having to call in sick when it's raining because I'm afraid to drive in the rain. I've been caught in a flood before. I've caught some water, so that was when I lived in Baton Rouge. Stupid, you know. I had a car in school. I think I told you that story. And, you know, and they said don't go out, you mm-hmm. know. But, you know, I was in my own apartment, and we wanted to go out and went out. And I was off. The next thing I know, I'm sitting on my car waiting on them to come and rescue me. On
oh,
top
wow.
of the car, because the water started coming up really high. So I've been afraid after this. So usually if I know it's going to rain real hard, I call in sick.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. When you retire, you won't have to call in sick.
Yeah,
so
I'm really looking forward to that. Definitely.
That should be fun.
Man, they tease me about it because I keep up with the weather.
Oh, yes.
But anything's going on, I hide in my closet when it's raining really bad. Like, what they say, there's a hurricane when they start talking tornadoes and stuff, that's real scary to me.
Yes, you do keep up with that. You have a million alarms on your on your phone, and you're forever. Did you hear it today, Olga? You know it's going to be this. You know it's going to be that. What? No, I didn't hear that. No, I don't have that alarm on my phone.
So when they do that to me, I get a little irritated. I'm like, don't know. I'm keeping up with it, trying to help you guys.
We're We appreciate your help, Winnie. We really do appreciate you keeping up with us and making sure we're there with the weather and that we won't be in trouble. So anyway, anything else you want to talk about, Winnie?
Well, I want to talk about you and your job. Before you had a big job, and before you retired, did you still like your job as much as you did in the beginning? And tell us about your job.
Okay, I did really like my job. And my job was interesting because most of the people in my family are educators, and they taught school. And I said I would never, ever, ever, ever teach school or do anything with education, because I grew up with that, and it was very important in my family, which it should have been, but at the time it was like, just like you and with your mom and stuff. At some point,
I never wanted to teach either.
Yeah, at some point you're like, I don't want to do this, I'm done with it. And I ended up in training for adults, and my job was a project manager with Alabama Industrial Development Training, AIDT. And we were basically an incentive to get these large companies like Mercedes and the steel plant that's here and Airbus. We were an incentive to get them to locate in the state of Alabama, because what we would do, my job was to go and visit their facilities, whether they were in Germany, whether they were in Switzerland, whether they were in Australia. If they were going to be moving here, then we would go and look at their process there, come back, and develop a training program. The training program would allow people to come to the training. We would interview them, put them in a training program. They would have an opportunity to see what kind of job this company entails or will want you to do. The companies would in turn have an opportunity to look at them, because a lot of times we take jobs because the money is perfect, you know, mm-hmm. and then we get on the job and it's like, this is not what I want to do. And so we were hoping that with these training programs that would eliminate that, mm-hmm. and then give the company opportunity to say, okay, we like Winnie. Winnie would be a perfect fit for us. So I really, truly enjoyed it. It was different. I always met different people, different companies, you know, trying to convince someone that the state of Alabama is the perfect place for you to be. Mobile, Alabama is the perfect place, or Baldwin Ooh. County or Birmingham. Or when we got when we landed Mercedes, you couldn't tell us anything. We thought we had done our due. We were perfect, you know, in what we were doing. And of course, it's all companies are a challenge, because when companies start looking at your state, that means they're in the process of building a new facility or relocating, and you're not the only one in the running. So you can be up against Louisiana, mm-hmm. the state of Washington, the state of Texas, and it's all about your incentives and what you can do to make sure that you bring the company to the state of Alabama. So that has been wonderful. But I enjoyed it. I don't have any regrets about it. But I'm also enjoying retirement.
Okay. I know that. The way you guys get up and go in right. at the drop of a hat. So how'd you get started there, though? Because, you know, I know you were in MIS.
Yeah. I had started there when everything transferred over to Bishop. And Bishop is the, that's the community college here. And so when everything transferred over to that, AIDT was a part of the 2-year college system. So I started looking at that to see what they were doing. And in the process, a friend of mine told me, oh, this would be perfect for you, Olga, and they have an opening. Why don't you apply? And I did. I applied for it, and it was the most interesting interview process I have ever been through. One of the questions there was the first time I had been in a group interview, because with my age, everybody was one-on-one. So it was about 4 or 5 people in mm-hmm. there. One guy looked at me and he says, Olga, he said, what would you do? Because the training was at night. What would you do if you pulled up to a facility and they were all pickup trucks out there, and they all had gun racks mm-hmm. in the back, you mm-hmm. know, and of course they were all male Caucasians. What would you do? And I said, I would just go in and definitely do my job, because I was the first female that was hired for this particular job. Mm-hmm. So what would you do? I said, I'd go in and do my job, what I'm expected to do. And I went home and I told Benjamin, I said, that was the dumbest question I've ever heard. Who? I mean, really? I can't believe that. So the first night I went to training up in Washington County, I pulled up in the parking lot and it was pickup trucks
with gun racks.
With gun racks. And I thought, this is crazy. This is really crazy. But it was great. So it was great. But I have, you know, I want to say, Winnie, that this has been wonderful. I've enjoyed it. I always enjoy your company. Always. And so I'm glad we had an opportunity to sit down and talk, because there are some things I heard that I didn't know before. And that's a good thing.
Okay, then. Well, in that case, we can go get a drink after this, right?
Perfect.
Okay. Okay. That's it. I just got one more question that we can wrap it up for Olga. Are there any funny stories or memories or characters from your life that you want to tell us about or tell me about? It doesn't have to be Benjamin. Just any funny stories about...
Oh, I can tell you one from work. I don't know if it was funny. It was embarrassing, I think.
Oh.
So we're at the training center one day, and I go into... Of course, when I'm at work, I'm just... As my secretary says, I'm two different people. She can tell when I'm on the phone with my friends, because it's like, girl, what's going on? And when I'm on the phone and it's someone professional in my job, and it's like, may I help you? You know, that kind of thing. So I'm all this professional person, and I say, excuse me a moment. And I walk away, and I'm going into the bathroom. So I go in the bathroom, and I come out, and toilet paper is caught in the back of my... my clothes, and I didn't know it.
Oh my God.
Walking out of the bathroom, I'm going down the hall, and the guy says, Mrs. Harris. And I went, yes, may I help you? He said, it's toilet paper out of the back of your
car. Oh my God.
I went, oh my God. This is insane. And one other story with the job, and that's when I first got the job, and I was, you know, it was all males, and so I'm talking to them, and we were at this reception, and this company is in from, they were in from Germany. We were talking about a chemical company, and I'm walking with them, and I'm thinking we're just walking out into the lobby, and I keep walking with them. We go through the door, and I go in with them, and we talk, and they say, oh, you do know you're in the men's room, right?
Oh, I'm no.
Like, oh, okay. No, I didn't.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I've got stories. I've got lots of stories. But, yeah, thanks.